Welcome to No Longer Conformed. My name is Eric Garthy, and we are in class with Job, lessons about life's issues. In today's session, we'll be looking at Job chapter 2, verse 13, giving advice. You know the saying, some advice needs to be taken with a grain of salt. What is meant by that, anyway? Well, in ancient times, salt was very hard to come by. It was expensive and was even considered a form of medicine. In the Latin, the warning became that some advice needed to be given cum sano salus. In other words, some advice might not be healthy for you. In life, you'll receive some counsel that's not very good. And at times, you'll give some. There will be moments when God brings people into your life at just the right time to say just the right thing. It's important to know how to sort the good from the bad. The advice that's good medicine and the counsel that will make you sick, whether giving or receiving counsel, ask these five questions. First, is this advice biblical? Job chapter 5, verse 27. Behold, we have searched out, this we have searched out. It is true, hear it, and know for yourself. We must know God's word to discern counsel. Job's friend said, this we have searched out. It is true. But how can I be sure that another person's research produced truth? I can only discern good counsel from bad if I know the truth. Personal experience does not equal good advice. There are so many differing opinions. Only the Bible is trustworthy. So many Christians are unprepared for life's journey. When trouble comes, there isn't time to make up for a lifetime of neglecting the Bible. On our walk with the Lord, His Word is our map, and His Spirit is our compass. Is this advice biblical? Second, is this advice factual? Job 11, verse 14 down to verse 17. If iniquity were in your hand, and you pull it far away, and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, then surely you could lift up your face without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as waters that have passed away, and your life would be brighter than noonday. Though you were dark, you would be like the morning. Job's friend Zophar urged Job to put away his sin and to not allow evil in his life. Zophar couldn't look at Job's situation without assuming Job had sinned against God. Eliphaz gave the same counsel in Job chapter 4, verse 8. Those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Listen, the facts didn't support the observation. God said Job was blameless and upright. The suffering was to test Job's faith, not punishment for sin. In the early church, a dispute arose between the leaders. Many non-Jewish people were becoming Christians. As a result, there was confusion over what Jewish law should apply to non-Jewish believers. Eventually, the leaders held a meeting with key leaders like Peter and Paul in attendance. They heard the case, sorted out the facts, and made a decision that was accepted by the group. And that's recorded in Acts chapter 15, verses 22 down to verse 31. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles and elders and the brethren. to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some of you went out from us, some who went out from us have troubled you with the words, with words unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandments. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. Farewell. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Listen, if the facts aren't accurate, the advice will be faulty. Is this advice biblical? Is this advice factual? And then third, is this advice necessary? Job chapter 2, verse 13, our text for this message. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Did Job need that debate in the middle of his crisis? It may be wise counsel to use few words when someone hurts. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Says that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes the best thing we can do for one another is simply to cry together. Maybe Job's friends should have stayed quiet beyond just 1 week. Is this advice biblical? Is this advice factual? Is this advice necessary? Fourth, is this advice educational? Job chapter 4, verse 6. Is not your reverence your confidence and the integrity of your ways your hope? Job would be able to pass along the lessons he learned through his testing to future generations. But most of the counsel he received from his friends was simply not teachable. Job followed the law to the letter. What was his reward for faithfulness? He experienced a time of suffering that shook him to the core of his faith. What Job was able to pass on was what he learned about God. His personal encounter with the Lord was the turning point for Job, his friends, and his family. He never did get an answer to the question of his suffering, but he gained a lot of insight about the nature of God. It is Job's faith in God that we remember 30 centuries later. Is this advice biblical? Is this advice factual? Is this advice necessary? Is this advice educational? And fifth, is this advice loving? Job chapter 8, verse 4. If your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgressions. Bildad took a cheap shot at Job's children in that verse. Even if the advice given is biblical, factual, and necessary, it will never be received if it's not shared in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 15, to speak the truth in love. When people are hurting, they look for answers. And they need comfort and consolation in those moments. For 7 years, Terry Anderson was held as a hostage of Shiite Muslim fundamentalists. The former reporter for the Associated Press had been taken captive and held as a political prisoner. Before taken as a hostage, Anderson hadn't given thought to matters of faith. While in prison, he was allowed a Bible. He later wrote, "Constantly, over the years, I found consolation and counsel in the Bible I was given in the first few weeks. Comfort from the real, immediate voices of people who had suffered greatly, and in ways that seemed so close to what I was going through. I read the Bible more than 50 times, cover to cover, in those few years." You have a great day.